We'll get right started here. We have been in this series on Galatians, understanding Galatians in light of Torah. Has this been helping anyone as far as your journey, going through all the things of the Scripture, looking at them, see how they apply? Well, we've been in a portion here of this, just leading off of the two covenants. And we've been talking about the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. The letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. And we got down to Matthew. We see him what Christ did there as he breaks up into Matthew 5. And he starts really explaining the spirit of the law. What does it mean to know the spirit of the law? Because not everything that God revealed, but Christ has given it to us as we should know it. Some of it is hard to understand, but he explains it. And this is what's so important about taking our time going through this. Well, last week we talked about some of those issues in dealing with adultery and fornication. He talked about that. And of course, we read that Corinthians account, and I'm going to read that again to you. Then we looked at several portions of this, and what is he talking about? And I use this word, the idioms of Hebrew idioms, and I'm going to read that again to you. So you keep that in mind. I may have to read it to you a couple of times so we get where this is going, see what it's all about as we're using these expressions. Because I think that's where the mistake or the issue lies a lot of times, is not understanding that. But an idiom is an expression whose meaning cannot be inferred from the meanings of the words that make it up. So you have to go past that. You have to get down into it and see what that means. And so we're going to need to use that. Now, I looked at Malachi, is where we kind of went through, and we found a spot to stop after Malachi. And we're not going to go over it again. But he's, again, was dealing with what he was saying pertaining to that account when he says in Matthew 5:31, it has been said, whosoever put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. And but I say unto you, he said that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. And it says except for there's an exception, causes her to commit adultery. That's what we were looking at. So we see that there's a, and we went into the whole aspect of that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female. And he put them together for a reason. Now, I want you to see how valuable this is to God. Once you see this, you're going to fall in love with it. Because how many know that God doesn't author any separation? That's not what he's, because it was never in the design. And here's what happens. The enemy wants to have that forfeited. Because then he can come in and bring Hamas to the garment. Remember we talked about the violence to the garment. And I read to you in Genesis 6, what happened? The sons of God took the daughters of men, and they bore children unto them. And then at the end, the results of that. What was the results of that? Now, they took them wives as they wanted to. It was not authorized by God. What is a marriage? Authorized by God. Remember that. The question came up, and they asked them in Matthew 19, the Pharisees came and to him and tempted him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause or any cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read? Notice that. Have you not read? What is he referring to? Read what? Talking about the Tanakh. He's talking about, have you not read the Tanakh? We would call it the Old Testament, but it was known as the Tanakh. It's an acronym. I brought this up in the Bible study. The Tanakh is an acronym. And it means covering everything. It's the Torah. It's the acronym for the prophets. And it's all done in the Hebrew. So but it'd be the prophets and the writings, the Psalms. He that made them from the beginning made them male and female. So you got to see this value, and I got to press this point, and I'm going to lead into where I couldn't finish it on Sunday, so I'm going to finish it tonight. But I got to press this point. He that made them from the beginning made them male and female. So then what happens? Therefore, he leaves the father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two become one. Aha, the two become one. Now I want you to understand something. There's something about that that's amazing. There's something that we have to understand about that that's valuable. If the enemy can, he will always try to separate. Because if he can separate, then he can conquer. Because if you stay united, if you stay together, there's power when we come together and under that banner of what God establishes. There's power and authority in it. How can two walk together except they agree? Notice that. How can two walk together except they agree? So if we're going to go somewhere, if we're going to get somewhere, we're going to have to agree that what we're aiming at or where we're going, we're both in agreement to get there. But if we both have a different idea where we're going, we wind up getting nowhere. And that's not good. It's hard to accomplish anything when you go nowhere. That's why he said, how can two walk together? Notice the term, walk together, except they agree. And that's why, what he's saying here, he said the two become one. Become your own unit. You become a family. Now we're moving forward, and then we know what happens after that. There's procreation and so forth and so on. Now I want you to understand that there is in that marriage, there's what God wants is instituted here, and for us to understand that this is not just putting two created things together. There's things that were created that were put together to accent or help each other. But God said it's not good for man to be alone. That's what he said. So he caused a deep sleep to come on Adam. And what did he do? Did he take dirt? No. So there's one thing that God did that was a little different than he did with everything else. Everything else, the animals come from the ground. The trees come from the ground. The man came from the ground, but the woman came from the flesh. Came from the flesh. Now that don't mean a whole lot to us when we first start reading, but that don't mean a whole lot to us later on. Because the whole thing is God is making sure that it's flesh of flesh and bone of bones. There's nothing impure there. They're the same. I don't know if we're all getting this. He used the same product to make something that would be a helpmeet. So out of one, he gets two, then they come back together and become one. Yet they're two individuals. One he called woman, the other one's the man. And God, have you read from the beginning? Notice the words of Yeshua. This is important. Having you read that, he who made them from the beginning, made them male and female. There's a reason for that. It's called procreation. How many understand that? This adult class, see, I hope everybody understands the term procreation. Okay. So understand that what's happening here. Now I read to you Genesis 6. What happened in Genesis 6? The sons of God took the daughters of men. It was that authorized. That was an unauthorized engagement, unauthorized marriage. So anything they did with it not being authorized, it therefore became tainted. The blood was no longer pure. That's why God said, I looked at the world, and it's only evil continually. The thoughts of man is only evil continually. They don't have one single good thought. Not one good thought. So it had no choice but to make a way, an ark. And he looked and he saw that the life of Noah is righteous. And he still had purity in him. Understand that. I want you to get this. Noah had three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, they said that away in the scripture, but they weren't born that away. A lot of times we don't notice that. They weren't born that away, but that's how it's said. Because God always does those things when he's trying to get a message to us that a lot of people won't even see. So, children were born unto them. Those children weren't authorized by God. Some of them were disfigured, disformed, grew bigger. And the angels didn't stop there because their appetite for going against the word of God could not be stopped. So he had no choice but to destroy the world. And so I wanted you to just keep that in mind. And what did he say? He said it's evil continually, and he talked about the word violence. When we covered, I read that section for you. He talked about the word violence. That word is Hamas. And in Malachi, where I was just getting to, I'm just going to read the latter part of it because we can't read it all. He talks about that in that latter part of Malachi, starting with verse 16. He said, "For Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel," and that's 967. There you go. "The Elohim of Israel said that he hated putting away." He hated what? Putting away. What other word can I use there? He hates what? What does he hate? Divorce. Remember, the whole chapter is about divorce. Don't make me have to do Malachi again. The whole chapter is about divorce. So when it used the term put away, putting away, he didn't use the word divorce, but that's what he means. Do you understand that? He said, "For Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, said he hated putting away. For one covereth violence." Notice that. "One covereth violence with his garment." That's a reference to the unrighteous seed. What happens if a person puts his wife away for no reason? He causes her to do what? Commit adultery. That's what the scripture, he said, you cause her to commit adultery. Does that make him scot-free? He's not scot-free. Listen, you have a job. I said this, I didn't touch on it a lot, but once a man takes a wife, he's better make sure he knows what he signed up for. He's supposed to tend to her, care for her, pray over her, be the priest. He's supposed to lay hands on her. My, if we had more men doing that, I believe we'd live in a different world today. Put your hand on him and say, "God, I thank you for this great woman of God. I thank you for her voice. I thank you for her anointing. I thank you for her healing. I thank you for her disposition." How many understand what I'm talking about? It'd be amazing. That's what God designed, but the enemy comes to destroy that. Now I'm going to talk about there's a putting away that happens without it being legally put away. When you could put your wife away because you do nothing. Now, under the law, it literally happens. The bill of divorcement. But under the spirit of Torah, I want to submit to you that there's a lot of people under the spirit of the law that have put their wives away, but nobody knows. Let me just tell you, you know. When you ask yourself, when's the last time I did what I was required to do when it comes to my wife? Very important. You say, why is this so valuable? Because of the violence, the Hamas. That word is Hamas. So what I did after that, I read to you. I finished that up. We read that Genesis 6, 1 through 13. So I'm moving through. This is just review. So I went through that Genesis 6, 1 through 13. And It goes on down to the 11th verse, and it says, the earth also was corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. What started this whole thing? It was the illegal marriage that started this. Malachi says you got to be careful, because what happens there, the garment gets covered with violence, Hamas. You start to get a seed that's not authorized by God. Hence the corruption that was in the world. Giants and so forth. There's not a lot taught about that when you're growing up in church and all that. And that's fine, but here we here now. Right now, you know what you're responsible for today? Today. And you're responsible for what you're going to leave as a legacy for the next generation. But yesterday, as much as you don't want to put, we don't want to look at it, it's gone. Ain't none of us can go back and fix yesterday. But what we do today counts. What we do today, what we put in our set our hearts to do for God today counts, and what we do tomorrow is going to count. Amen? So in verse 13, again, this is review. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with what? Violence. The earth is filled with violence through who? Them. Now, what's the context? Everybody knows who them is. Is y'all with me here? Everybody knows who them is. Them that started having this illegal gathering together, procreating without the authorized blessing of God. But what happened in the garden? God authorized that wedding. Once he authorizes it, then the man has to step up and do his position. He has to. Whatever happened, let me tell you, whatever's going on, whatever, I don't care what's going on in the garden, the man's got to do his position. How many see where I'm going with this? That's why he said, because of one man sent into the world. Not one man, even though woman was deceived. That's just a fact. It's what happened. The sin came because of man. And it was authorized. Meaning, it shouldn't have happened. Now, what happened in Genesis 6? That should have happened. When you start with craziness in the equation. Craziness plus craziness. That ain't hard to figure that one out. Equals craziness. Multiplied craziness. But when God takes a man and a woman and puts them together, and he authorizes that, he calls what comes from them a righteous seed. Remember that. We talked about the righteous seed. We don't want to get it. But once the violence is on the garment, it can get corrupt. You don't want corruption in you. How many of you feel like sometimes, man, I just have no idea how I get. There's so much corruption in the world. I can tell you why. A lot of unauthorized engagements. But you know what? I don't care. Listen, it makes no difference what our past was. What makes a difference is right now. What I said last week, it doesn't matter if you've been mad, never been mad once or twice. None of that matters. What matters is once you hear the word of God, you say, Lord, I don't want that hanging on me. Sometimes we don't mind saying, Lord, forgive me because I said something wrong. I had a wrong attitude, or maybe I thought a wrong thought, or maybe I looked at a wrong thing. Those things come fresh to our mind. We're going to put down this or put down what I've been addicted to, but we fail to realize there's some other things that the enemy's attached himself to us because of when we were not learned, when we unlearned, things happen. And some things happen not even your fault. Because somebody didn't do what they were supposed to do. And you became the recipient of that seed that was sown. You know what I've been praying lately? Lord, I cancel all that off my life. You got to verbally say that. Let me tell you, to refresh you. You'll feel different about yourself. I cancel that off my kids' life. You cancel that stuff off, and then thank God every day that it's a brand new start, and you'll see that. It'll begin to happen. Amen? Amen? All right, so we went down. Let me go ahead and take this on. I'm going to read that Corinthians account again. So let's start. We start right here. This is our start. 979. I think it is. 979. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to read the beginning portion of it for sure. It is reported common that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Now, fornication is a word that's kind of broad. A lot of stuff, wrong thing. No, nothing right's in the word fornication. It's all wrong, but it covers a lot of different things. This one in particular is called fornication, and he says, fornication, it is not so much named among the Gentiles, that one, now notice this, that one should have his father's wife. Now this is Corinthian, this is Paul dealing with a church, a Gentile church, who's in the faith, they're Christians. Now, instead of them doing what they should do, now this portion I was reading when we talked about stoning, right? And I'm reading it again because we tell them, again, we're trying to get through this so I can get back to Galatians 4 and keep reading. We stopped there for a while. He says, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. Notice that. Bragging about it. Puffed up and not mourning. That he that had done this deed might be taken away. What's that a reference to? Put out. Take him away. And if we done that under the old covenant, the letter of the law, he would be stoned. Right? But taken away from among you. That's a tough thing to do. Especially in society today when you have inclusion mindset. Spirits of inclusion. Meaning, you know, we ought to just all get along. Let's just invite everything in the church. Everything. Everything matters. It doesn't matter. Just everything can count. We got to be careful, very careful. So I wanted you to see what we were pulling from. And he talks that in 5. He says, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. It's better that we allow a person to see their folly than to keep hugging them and smiling with them and singing with them because they'll never see their folly. You're okay with it. Ain't nobody told me anything. Well, God been telling you. But our responsibility as God's people is to repeat what God said. How many understand that? And sometimes what God says is not easy to hear. But if a man has his father's wife, that is something that Paul says you shouldn't be puffed up about that. You should be mourning. Mourning for what reason? One, we broke covenant with God as a body. He's a member of the church. This is members of the church. It's not talking about people that aren't saved. Who judges the unsaved? The Bible says God does. What are we to look after? Let me tell you the problem we have, like Spurgeon said. He said, shepherds will feed the sheep, but clowns will entertain the goats. I'm going to be a shepherd or a clown. In Deuteronomy 24, verse number 1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it comes to pass that she find no favor in his eyes. Notice that. Notice this authority. She find no favor in his eyes. Notice that. Now, in the Tanakh, in the Mishnah, different rabbis came along and they interpreted this a different way. I mean, just come out with some crazy stuff, you know, adding to it. You know, if he sees a woman prettier than his wife, then he has the right to write a bill of divorcement. Not according to the Lord. Let's not forget that. The Lord says you're going wrong, you do that. But they were going, you know, well, she's pretty. I'm tired of her. She finds no favor in my eyes anymore. Well, he need to keep reading because he had found some uncleanness in her. Notice that word uncleanness. Now, I highlighted it for a reason because I'm going to give you the definition. Then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and sent her out of his house. He found what? He found uncleanness in her. What does that mean? That's the word erva. Erva in Strong's means nakedness. It could have been, it should have been translated nakedness there. What does that mean? Remember those idioms we were talking about? We're going to look at what does that mean and how it applies to us and what's the reason why we have what's going on in the world today. Erva, short definition, is nakedness. I want you to keep that in mind. Leviticus 18, verse number 1. Let's look at it together. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, and saying to them, I am Yahweh your Elohim. Why does he do that? He wants to make sure everybody's clear that where he's getting this information from is coming from the Most High. Tell him. He speaks to Moses, and you tell the children of Israel. Now notice in verse 3, after the doing of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do. How clear is that? We know you live there. We know you've been there for a long time, and you can start getting their customs and their ways and their ideas and their little slogans and sayings. How many of you know that that happens still today? You go somewhere and you live there for a while, you might be from the South. You live in the South all your life. You move a little more toward the North, you start talking like the Northerners talk. If you live in the North and move to the South, you try to talk like the Southerners. It's difficult. It's difficult to unlearn yourself. Right? I'm telling you. So that's what happens. You kind of get around that. Well, he said, don't do it. Let me see that. He said, you shall not do it. And after the doing of the land of Cana. After the land of Cana. Now, we know, we're going to talk about Cana here in a little bit. Don't do like the Egyptians or like the land of Cana. Now, I thought that's where they were going. Just because God's got you going somewhere doesn't mean you act like the people that's there when you get there. Maybe he's just got you set up to change the environment where you're going. Well, God sent me here. See how you can miss it? If he didn't want me in this, he wouldn't have sent me here. There was a reason he sent you there. Because it was promised to you of those who are obedient to him, but somebody took it before you got there. But he raised you up so you can get there, so then you can possess the land that he promised to your forefathers. Notice that. He says, and after the doing of the land of Canaan, whether I bring you, shall ye not do. I think he's clear, and I think we're clear, that don't do what the Egyptians did where you were, and don't do what the Canaanites do where you're going. That's a whole message right there, but I got to go past it fast. You ready for this? Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. What? Their gods are not your gods. Their ways are not your ways. Not. What they celebrate, you don't celebrate. Their feasts are not your feasts. Their holy days are not your holy days. Why? Because you shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. Why? I am Yahweh your Elohim. I don't know about you, but that makes you want to shout right there. Where are you getting all this? The Torah. That thing that's done away with. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. He reiterates it. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I mean, see that. Which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Yahweh. How many see this? Well, let's go on. He's really going to help us here. Now, watch this. He says, none of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am Yahweh. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Now, how many see where Paul got this from? See where he got it from. He said, you ought to put him out or deliver him over to Satan. That way he can have a chance in the end. But if you keep patting him on the back, he's going to go from his mother to your mother. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she's born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness shalt thou not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter or the daughter's daughter, even their nakedness, thou shalt not uncover. For theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Are you hearing this? This is all idioms now, right? Because so far I didn't say a whole lot besides uncover and nakedness. Remember that word, uncleanness. If he find uncleanness in her, should be, it's arva. Every one of these words that's highlighted is arva. Almost 50% of all the words you find arva are found in Leviticus 18. Almost half of them. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover nakedness beside the others in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness. Moreover, thou shalt not lie. Now, there's a shift here. Let me just tell you, there's a shift. Now, he's using idioms, Hebrew idioms, at the beginning. Uncover and nakedness. Uncover and nakedness. In verse 20, he says, but thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Notice that. Thy neighbor's wife, meaning you don't know him at all. It's a stranger. It's representing a complete stranger. Don't lie. With your carnally with thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Molech. Notice what he's saying. Don't let your seed pass through the fire of Molech. Now that's an abomination to the Lord. Remember he said don't do what they do. That's what the pagans do. The pagans live like this. The pagans decide, you know what, I'm just going to have whoever I want tonight. And they just do it. That's what they do. But I don't want you to do that. Because the seed's going to pass through the fire of Molech, and it's going to be chaos from here on. They're going to get to a point where God can't do nothing with them. I'm about to help you here. There's some people, God can't do nothing with them. That went too far. Neither shall thou profane the name of thy Elohim, I am Yahweh. Verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Now that word lie is a different than arva. But it's always, arva is only used in the unauthorized sexual contact that God never institutes. Now he institutes a contact of procreation. He institutes that. That's how people are going to be born. Remember that. He institutes that. Remember, he tells Eve at the very, very beginning, your seed. What's she going to get that from? By eating fruit from the tree? You understand? So he authorized that, but there's some unauthorized. He said, don't do it, don't lie. The word lie is always referring to that's unauthorized. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shall thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Let me see that. Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. They have done all of it. You're serving me now. I don't want you to do none of it. Let me see the difference. Verse 25, and the land is defiled. Same thing happened in Genesis 6. Therefore I do visit the iniquities thereof upon it, and the land itself vomited out her habitation. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourned among you. Let me see that. That means if you do have somebody who comes from outside of that, hence the Gentile nations are getting saved now. They're Christians. They can't do it either. Well, I was over here. I was born this way. Really? Well, unborn yourself from that abomination, because in God, you can't do that. Because that's what folks say. Well, I was born, unborn yourself. That's the unrighteous seed. That's the fire of the seeds passing through the fire of Molech. That's where that comes from. And it's all demonic influence. Every child that was born from the sons of God who took the daughters of men, unauthorized marriage, every child born to them had a demonic demon. Every one of them. So when they died, those demons were put into Taurus. Peter referenced that. So they're in the abyss. They're chained in the Taurus. They're chained in that underworld, waiting. Think about that. This is real stuff here. So if there was a demon released then, there's demons released today. Unauthorized contact releases a demon. What do you do when that's happened? Father, I know the truth now, so I'm asking you to forgive me and cleanse me of all demonic influence, all of it. I don't want no demon living in me. And I'm going to tell you, demons are living in people and they're going to church on a regular basis. But you don't have to have that. I'm telling you tonight, you don't have to have it. We don't need to have a cast them out service. You need to know the truth. The truth will set you free. Let me understand that. I just got to tell you the truth about it. And we won't act that way, talk that way, walk that way. We won't do any of those things no more, because we don't want those influences. I don't want them. And I can tell you in my life, what influenced me to do wrong was demonic. In my life. Once I seen the truth, I renounced that. Has no place in my life. And then I don't want to keep entertaining that, so I allow those influences to come back, because they will. They will. They'll come back on you and very quickly. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Verse 28, that the land spewed not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the soul that commits them shall be cut off from among their people. That's just clear stuff. Therefore, shall you keep my ordinances. Now you understand how important it is? Listen, you're not going to just hang around and do nothing. We can go around talking about, well, I didn't know this and I didn't know that. It doesn't matter what we don't know. We're going to start doing whatever our environment tells us. It don't matter. Nobody taught you. Ain't nobody sat you down and taught you and said, this is what the word says. You got to keep this and you got to keep that. You started doing because you just adapted to your environment. It didn't seem wrong to nobody, and so everybody was doing it. But all of a sudden, the word of God comes forth and says, that's not what God authorized. Then what do? You get out from that, and you say, I'm not going to do that no more. And somebody's going to think I'm crazy. Then let them think you're crazy, because I don't want the land to spew me out. What are you doing? Following the Lord. Why y'all doing that? Because God directs us to. You understand? It's easy answers. But folks want an explanation. You can't explain the things of God to the natural man. They don't get it. So do not waste your time. The Spirit of God can only be understood by the Spirit of God. Man doesn't know the things of God, neither indeed can he. The things of God are foolishness to man. So if you think people think you're foolish, shout hallelujah, I'm finally getting there. I'm getting somewhere. But if you feel all inviting and all inclusion, that's not maybe the right spot. Am I helping you? Therefore, shall you keep my ordinances, that ye commit not any of these abominable customs. What does he call them? Abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourself therein. I am Yahweh your Elohim. What did he start with? I am Yahweh your Elohim. What did he end with? I am Yahweh your Elohim. That sounds like something we ought to pay attention to. Genesis 9. How many say, everybody say, I'm ready for this. Say, I hope I'm ready. Genesis chapter 9. And Elohim said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Notice that. Ham is the father of Canaan. Who's the father of Canaan? What did he say? Don't do like you did where you were in Egypt. Everybody started there in Egypt. We all were lost and undone, slaves to sin. But God promised, I'm going to get you somewhere. He gets us out of that way, bringing us to, he said, there's going to be a land of Canaan. I'm living in Canaan land, Egypt behind. Cross over Jordan land, gladness to find. You got to watch living in Canaan land. You got to watch when you're living in Canaan land. Now that's the promise. It's got to be good. It is good. The place is what God promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. But he said, when you get there, don't do what they do. I'm bringing you there to be a light to the lost. I'm bringing you there to be salt to the earth. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? When Yeshua stepped into his ministry, God brought him there for a reason. Raised him up from among his own brethren for a reason. But he didn't do what they did. He said, you stand on a street corner and you give your prayer so everybody can hear you. Are you getting this? He came to change the world. What are we here for? We got to change something. 19, these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Of them. Where did we come from? Of them. I'm about to help somebody in a little while. Of them, the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. He planted a vineyard. Notice this. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he, Noah, I'm talking about Noah, I put it there because sometimes we read and we think he changed by now. He's still Noah. And he, Noah, was uncovered. Let me see that word. He was uncovered within. I don't know why I put that there. His tent. I'm sorry. I know why I put that there. because it's a wrong translation. It means her tent. Every scholar has agreed that it's her tent. Her tent? Everybody look at somebody and say, game changer. Her tent. Last time I looked, me and my wife sleep in the same tent too. And Ham, qualifier coming up, the father of Canaan. He never said anything about the rest of the boy, just always giving this qualifier because he's saying, pay attention. Because right about now I'm saying, why he keeps saying Ham the father of Canaan, but he ain't saying Shem the father, he ain't saying none of that about them. Why is he doing that? That's what I'm saying. Ham the father of Canaan saw, that word saw means to what? Means to uncover. The nakedness of his father. And told his two brothers without, uncovered his father's nakedness. That's what that means. He uncovered his father's nakedness. Well, you know, they got all these ideas out there. Well, listen, we're not here about ideas. We don't want to talk about ideas. We want to talk about what the Word is telling us. Already, we got a different sense about what's happening here. When it goes from his tent to her tent. If it's her tent, guess who else is there that the story never tells us about? But if we get to her right, they got two people that been drinking. And at some point in their drinking, they decided they were going to, help me, Lord. And all of a sudden, Canaan, he walks in and he does what? He uncovers the nakedness of his father. He told his brothers without, and he uncovered. So in verse 23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment. Notice this. They took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were backwards, and they saw not their father's nakedness, meaning they did not uncover their father's nakedness. They didn't participate. And Noah woke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now I'm going to give you his younger son. It's quoted. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's not in order. There's a reason. God will always tell us before the event why something's got to go the way it goes, because he's not qualified anymore to be in that position. The younger was blessed in many occasions throughout Scripture. But he was moved from that position for a reason. I don't want to get on that, but look, there's so much to cover here. So let me address this. I read to you in Leviticus, if you uncover the man's nakedness, which is his wife, some says, well, I know what happened. This is out there. It was a voyeurism. He saw that they were naked. That's what he said. So God punished who? Who did he punish? Go to the next one. And he said, cursed be Canaan. Now we know Canaan's in the story because we've been reading about he's the father of Canaan, the father of Canaan. But he ain't the father of Canaan yet. He's just telling us in the story, the narrator's telling us he is the father of Canaan. This one, don't get confused. This is the father of Canaan, but he's not there yet. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brothers. And he said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servants. And Elohim shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servants. Notice that. Michelle, Canaan's in trouble. Now I want to ask you something. Canaan didn't commit the abomination. Who committed the abomination? Ham did. Well, why did curse get Cain? Why did Cain get cursed? Very important question. Let's go through this. So some says this is voyeurism. And some people go with that and they teach this in their college or whatever. And says that what happened, he walked in and his father was drinking and he didn't have his clothes on. And God cursed him because of he saw his father's nakedness. He was naked. Well, he didn't curse Ham. You could kind of work with that maybe. It won't go very far because it don't stand the scripture. But that's an idea and that's what people teach. But he didn't curse Ham. He cursed Canaan. He cursed the son. Well, some take it to another one. Some say, well, it's a homosexual act. He uncovered his father's nakedness. We established that uncovering the naked means to have sexual intercourse. We established that. I read it to you over and over in Leviticus. So what happened, he committed a homosexual act on his father. Has anybody heard these things out there? And that's why. Well, you don't get a child from that. There's only one thing left. And if we understand the Hebrew idioms, is this. Cain, in his drunken state that Noah was in, he couldn't defend his wife. And Cain seized the opportunity to say, now's my chance to put him down and for me to step in so my seed could be an authority. So what did he do? He uncovered the nakedness of his father, which is the nakedness of his wife. I just read that over and over. The nakedness of his father, which is the nakedness of his wife. He uncovered the nakedness. If you see it or you uncover it, they mean the same. To uncover the nakedness of a man is to take that man's wife sexually. That's what it means. He saw. So what happens? So what happens when you take the man's wife sexually? Now this is the same sin that Paul's talking about. See, this is what happens when you look at Paul, what he's talking about. He said, because I'm wrestling with it. I said, Lord, why is this? He's on their case. He said, you should be mourning. This is dangerous. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Are you crazy? Instead, you're not saying anything. Put them out. Why? Because through that relationship, a boy's born. His name's Canaan. The seed is wrong again. So we had giants before, and we have giants after. Through Canaan, his lineage, the Amorites came on the scene. They were mentioned more in the scripture of being giants than any other people group. Same tainted seed from when the angels fell. You got to be careful, men, that you're sober so you can take care of your wife. You understand that? Be sober so you can defend her honor. Noah was so drunk, he couldn't even defend his own wife's honor, and the son took her, and she had a child named Canaan. Do you see how it fits the entirety of Scripture? I took you from Corinthians, and I brought you through this journey. Why was there such an atrocity? And why was it so terrible in Genesis 6? Because of that. That was not an authorized marriage. It wasn't authorized children. They weren't stamped by God's approval. Be careful. We need to be careful in this society that we live in. Don't just take anybody, pray and say, God, I want what you want from me. I want to be with who you want me to be with. I want you do it. Here's the thing. When you ask God for something, what do? Don't sit under a tree and wait for it to fall out the tree on top of your head. You got to start looking for the miracle. Look for the return. Look for it to come to you. Look for it. Give yourself over to that and say, Lord, what I want is what I asked you for. Now I'm expecting that expectation. That's what never comes up in our life. We ask God for a miracle, don't expect one. If he comes, maybe he wanted me to have it. If it don't, he didn't want me to have it. If you ask God for the miracle, expect the miracle. You asking the one who can do anything. Expect it. And this is what happened. We have this situation where because Noah couldn't defend his wife, his wife was taken, and the son said, we're not participating. He went out and bragged about it. And go to the next one. Let me see if it's... No, let me back up. Verse 24, I want to read that again. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. He knew what he had done. He had taken from him what was only his. When the person's married to a woman, the woman is only his. That's why he says that sin is such an abomination. Only his. The man is only hers. But God says, there's a reason for all this. That's why we have to be sober-minded. We have to make sure that we're doing what we... You know what happens when two people are together and the man's not... He's not sober-minded. He's drunk with his career. He's drunk with his friends. He's drunk with everything. And he's not watchful over his wife. Drunk with, I got to make it. I got to do what you got to do is stop. And make sure you're attending service together. Make sure you're reading together. Make sure you're praying. Make sure that you're checking on each other. Why? Because the enemy's out to bring destruction and destroy everybody. Seize the opportunity. That's what he did. He seized upon an opportunity. And here's Ham. He sees that opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to force my authority and I'm going to be the head guy. Who was the head guy? Noah was the head man. He was the head guy. Three men come off that and all it overspread. Here's my chance to get my... And listen, it was all good. He just got finished wiping out all the violence. And all of a sudden, here we go. We got two people in the garden. It's perfect. It's wonderful. God comes down in the cool of the day. We're hanging out. It's amazing what's happening. It's glorious. And Satan says, I'm going to seize on this opportunity here. Let me have me a conversation with this lady absent him. I'm going to get my say in. And he's got a responsibility. You can come in and you have dominion over all things. You can cancel out. When I pray for my wife, I lay my hands on her at night. I said, God, if there was any kind of thought, if there was any vow that may have been vowed that I didn't hear, I cancel out any kind of vow, any kind of covenant, promise, anything that was done outside of my knowledge, I cancel it. Satan doesn't have no right over what belongs to me. That's why I always tell you got to take that authority, that position. It's yours. That's why he said that you can't infringe upon that. Don't let anybody infringe upon that. And what you had in your past, that's why we have an advocate with the Father. That's why Christ, what do you think he died for? He didn't die because we every now and then we slip up and cuss a little bit. Oh, he didn't die for that. He died for this stuff right here. You look back and you say, I cancel out. And the blood of Jesus cleanses me of all of those errors. I'm cleansed from them. And you're justified just as if it never happened. How incredible is that? If you can't believe in that and live in that, you'll go crazy. Your mind will just explode because we can't handle the weight of our iniquity. We can't handle it. That's why he renews us in our mind. He transforms us in our mind. We're born again. We're renewed. That's why it's so important to understand Scripture. See what happened. So here we go again. We got the Amorites come from Ham. Well, Canaan. Canaan's born, and from Canaan we have the Amorites. And let me tell you, they brought. Now we do have some issues with the seed of not just Ham, but Japheth. Japheth was connected to the Philistines, and we know there were some problems there because we got at least Goliath from there, and plus his brothers. You get this all in the Bible. It just takes a lot of time, but it's there. But Shem, we don't have any indication or anything connected there. It's got a question mark. Could have, maybe I just, you know, maybe you could find it. But God had a plan. He put some things in place. So anyway, there's so many things there. Anyway. That's all in other studies. But I wanted to get to this part so we could get to a spot to stop tonight. Does this help anybody? Well, I just wanted to show you this. Okay, let me see. Let me see where I can stop here. Let's see. 1001. There you go. We'll be here in the morning. That's a good spot right there. That's a title slide. We're going to continue in the spirit of the law. I hope this has helped you. I enjoyed looking at it. It took me some time to look at this. I had a lot to talk about before I got here, so it worked out timing-wise. It worked out just perfect, and I thank God for it. But we're going to continue in reading the Matthew account. We're going to be looking at eye for eye, tooth for tooth. How many remember the passages? But I say to you, we're going to look at all that tomorrow. Hopefully I get through that tomorrow. All right? So I can tell you, it's not what you thought. So what you thought, it's not that. It's not what I thought. How many thank God he's just cleaning some things up for us? I want to know what I'm up against. Listen, ain't nothing better than nothing worse than not knowing what you're up against. If you don't know nothing about your enemy and his tactics and his ways, it's going to be hard for you to fight him. But I can tell you the enemy is slick. He's going to wait until you're not able. He's going to get you at your lowest point when you're not able to defend what God has authorized. He's always going to seize upon that moment to make sure that you don't even notice yours anymore. And that's exactly what he does. And so this whole story that's put in there about Noah gets drunk and people go and using these little verses of scripture for like little reasons. When Noah drank, and you know, I'm a drink. Come on now. You think he put that in there for that? The picture that I gave you tonight is what he wants you to see in that. But people get caught up in that, and that's what people got caught up in there. They didn't preach the whole, they just got that one little thing. Like if the wife seems to, you could put her away for any reason. Not any reason. He said the reason is she had uncleanness in her. And you look at that word, it's arva. She had whatever. She went out that night. That's why you put her away. You found out. There's a reason for it. Not for any reason. Remember, we don't want to go. But Paul said, except what Christ said, except for fornication. That's the exception. If they're going to participate in those things, But is that what God wants? It's not what he wants. Did he design it? No, because if a man's doing what a man's supposed to do, and a woman's doing what she wants to do, and they're honoring each other, like we stand up and say, never happens. It never happens. As a matter of fact, it's impossible to happen. If you're following God's method, it's impossible for divorce. Impossible. But the method gets, remember, the enemy comes, he does his thing, whatever. It's just a lapse in judgment. It can happen in a split second to anybody. Not me, you know, not me. Don't be acting like you're better than Adam was. Or you're more virtuous than Eve was. They were clothed in light. Never forget that. Clothed in light. But the devil's so slick and so subtle. He'll come in and say, he'll make you think God didn't say something. That's why we got to pay attention to what God says. Hence the reason why the church wants to take the law from the people, because you never know what God said. I don't know about you, but I thank God we came back from our folly and we got back to what God says, so we know what he says. That way when the enemy says something, we say, that ain't what he said. Because it only takes a lapse in judgment for a second or two, and then you go into doubt. Once you go into that, it all starts falling apart. The Torah is the foundation. The Brit Hadishah is the commentary. It's expounding on the Torah. We need it all. But if you lose that foundation, the house comes down. And that's exactly what's happening in the church world today. I don't know about you. I gave Brother Josh some stuff to look at just to get him kind of immerse him a little bit in some of this. I don't immerse everybody because dangerous stuff. Dangerous stuff. It's craziness. It's so crazy, you sit back sometimes and you go, God, what's going on? Am I losing my mind? Is this really happening? Is this really what's happening in the church world today? It's absolute crazy. It's like you turn the light out, close your eyes tight. And I mean, tight as you can, and flip it back on, you open up and it didn't even happen. That's how you want to feel sometimes. But when you open your eyes back up, you're looking at you, you got to be kidding me. All in the name of Jesus, too. Every bit of it. The craziest nonsense. Listen, you know when the world's the world. Ain't no doubt about that. You know when that's happened. The dangerous thing is when it's in the church and you don't know it. And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that, God, are we doing everything? Are we really? Are we singing the right songs? Are we conducting ourselves the right way? What's our prayer sound like? You ever prayed and recorded yourself? Record your prayer and then listen to it and say, am I saying what the Word says? Am I saying this right? Am I praying? By the time I got finished, I don't know. Who was the Most High? I started out with the Father. By the time I was done, I don't know who was Most High. All those matter to God. They matter to Him. He tells us what to do. So, anybody here need prayer for anything?